It's 9 o'clock. I'm Grant Hudson, AM 800 News. The Honda Accord rolls along Tecumseh Road West. Something happens when it gets near the intersection with McKay. Something deadly. The Accord slams into a parked minivan. The unidentified driver and two passengers get an ambulance ride to Hotel Du Grace, but not before having to be sliced from that hapless Honda. All three in critical condition this evening. Another passenger, not so lucky. That 21-year-old dead in the crumpled metal. Meanwhile, an out-of-control vehicle in Welland careens off the roadway, slamming into four teenagers, three of them dead tonight, the fourth, a 16-year-old, in hospital on the serious list. Police don't know what happened. The unidentified 30-year-old driver can't tell them. He's dead, too. To see it, you'd think they were marching around the walls of Jericho. That was some group of angry folks two-stepping it around St. Joachim Catholic Church. The OPP called out as things get a little loud, but there are no arrests. The demonstrators, members of a group called Save Our Sanctuaries. They're trying to save three lakeside churches from demolition. They're condemned, and the Diocese of London says, too many bucks to rebuild. So, just who is in line to hang the sign saying, I'm the Solicitor General, around their neck? If you believe last week's reports out of Ottawa, you're going to be believing it's Essex MP Susan Whelan. If you believe Susan Whelan, she says, I'm not at the head of the line, just a rumor. No name yet, but one bally bad boy gets hauled off to the Hooskow. He's the militant Islamic spiritual leader fingered for that blast that blows almost 200 people into their just reward. CKLW Sports, here's Joe Donovan.
Today's Big Ten College Football. The Michigan Wolverines slipped a slug of rot gut into Purdue's Boilermaker 23-20. Minnesota's Golden Gopher bit Michigan State Spartan work really hurt 28-7 on homecoming Saturday. Light the burning couch, it's cold in East Lansing tonight. Bucky Badger dead on arrival at U Wisconsin Medical Center with a fatal case of Buckeye poisoning. The still undefeated Ohio State Scarlet Scourge 19. The Mad City Budweiser Chuggers 14. The Detroit Lions 16 hours from kicking off the Testicular Bowl against the Shy Bears, stung by team president Matt Millen's berating of a Detroit player for cowardice and even the lack of essential male biological attributes. If you see Rory, the mascot, looking down along the Ford Field sideline tomorrow, you'll know why. And what does the rest of North America call the All-California Giants-Angels World Series that starts tonight? Football season. Joe Donovan, 2020 Sports, JoJo Shuddy McGregor's Traffic, plus weather is next.
It's a matter of life. It's a matter of death. It's 007.
My name's Bond.
James Bond.
It's live and let die. United Artists, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Now, Rodney Allen Rippey sings the Jack in the Box song.
Oh, goody! Jack in the Box!
Jack in the Box!
A Jack in the Box!
Jack in the Box!
Money back guarantee on what you pay. Farmer Jack gives you discount prices. Bushel and case prices every day.
Now, for the very first time, the shattering true story of the Hell's Angels.
Pulled boldly on the screen, uncensored and unvarnished.
Hell's Angels on Wheels starts Wednesday at the Fox Theater. Wednesday is Ladies' Day.
Taking a look at traffic at this hour, not too bad for a Saturday night, especially with this being the weekend after the Canadian Thanksgiving holiday on Monday. A lot of people making their way back home. At the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel and Ambassador Bridge, looks like there's about a 20 to 25-minute delay for passenger vehicles coming into Windsor. Commercial vehicles are stacked up a bit. The delay for trucks is about 30 to 45 minutes. Getting word from staffers at the bridge as well as at the tunnel, no delays for anyone headed back into the States. And no reported accidents around Windsor on Olette or on EC Row. No surprise, we're seeing a bit of a slowdown on Riverside Drive, though, right in front of CKLW. No doubt, Gawker's taking a look at all of the Big 8 reunion action. And I'm just part of that great scene. This is JoJo Shuddy McGregor enjoying being back in the CKLW Big 8 traffic copter.
CKLW weather. Tonight, partly clearing, getting cold, low 2. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 13. Amherstburg has 7 degrees, Essex 8, Leamington 7, and it's 8 degrees at CKLW. I'm Grant Hudson, AM 800 News.
It's 9:06. It's Charlie O'Brien. Man, the hours are flying by. We've only got the last hour to go. The Big 8 reunion on CKLW. We've had some fun so far. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk about the Big 8 music, and it was big. It was important. It was Detroit music and some fabulous music makers and stars are here tonight. And we'll talk to some coming up this hour as well. The jingles, the Big A jingles. Ben Friedman's going to talk to us from jingleuniversity.com and instantradio.com. Ben Friedman coming up. But we'll get some more folks back, some more jocks and some more newscasters a little bit later on in the hour. It's the 2020 reunion. Some more jocks still coming up. We'll talk in music. It's 9:07. We're back with more of the Big A reunion on AM 800 CKLW.
Radio you don't have to hide under your pillow. The Big A reunion continues on
CKLW Radio Reunion.
Yeah, that's a groove. There we got some Big A tunes going on now. Al Kent.
You gotta pay the price.
You gotta pay the price. And boy, we got the, one of the stars right here in this hour playing the guitar. One of Detroit City's major session players. And that is, of course, Dennis Coffey. Dennis, we're happy to have you here in the Big A reunion. Thank
Good
you
to
so
be
much
here.
For coming in. Armin Baladian.
Yes, sir.
Who, don't call me sir. Call me Charlie.
Okay, Charlie.
And your record label?
Westbound Records.
Westbound.
Yes,
you
sir.
Guys, of course, released how many stars locally in Detroit?
Quite a few. That's right. We had Denise LaSalle.
Trapped by a Thing
That's
Called
That's right. Rome. It was a million seller for us. We had the Ohio Players with Funky Worm, another million seller. We had the Funkadelic with many, many hits. And, of course, McGregor.
Byron McGregor.
That's right. 3 million seller. And the whole thing started right here at the Big Eight.
With the Americans.
Phenomenal. Just great.
And I think, what were the royalties for that going to the Red Cross? That was like a $100,000,
exactly.
$200,000
exactly.
donation.
That's right. In fact, when we sat down to do the whole thing, Herb McCord, and we did this all on a handshake, said, hey, Arm, you know, we'll let Byron go ahead and make this record. But you've got a guarantee that you're going to make a check out for $100,000 whether you sell one copy or a million copies. And we sure did. And we all went up to Minneapolis to the American Red Cross there. Gordon Ashworth was there, Byron, myself, and Herb McCord. And that's when Byron made the presentation to the American Red Cross, 100,000 smackers.
And that's how powerful the Big Eight was. Also want to welcome Millie Felch, who works with us now right here at Chum Radio. And you're one of our sales executives, but you were a record company executive, and you were knocking on this lady's door. We want to welcome a legend, a good friend of mine. You live in my neighborhood. I love you so much. Rosalie Tremblay is here. How are you, darling?
I'm fine, Charlie. How are you?
Great. Come on, bring the microphone in just a little bit. I'm
not used to being in front of a mic.
You're the one with the magical ears. You started here.
I have them cleaned every day.
You're special. You started as a hitline girl answering phones.
No, I
How did you start?
I started as a receptionist at CKLW Radio and Television.
Oh. And then how did you get the music happening? Was that Ted Atkins or Paul
Ted Drew Atkins was the program director that asked me to become the music director at CKLW. I started in 1963. I started Labor Day weekend 1963, the same day I started Tom Clay. Did his first air show on CKLW. Now, when I started at CKLW, television was the big thing. You know, you had Mary Morgan and Bill Kennedy and the stars
this
you got to see that,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that used to come and visit Bill especially.
And Robin Seymour's show, was that happening at the
time?
Yeah,
Swingin' Time. The odd time when there was someone I wanted to see that was going to be doing the Swingin' Time show. I would put the night lines up, post the night lines, and go in the studio they would tape the show later in the day. So they usually get there on Saturday mornings and be done by, 2-3 in the afternoon and then run it that night.
What young superstars were performing? Who was coming through Swingin' Time that you would run down and want to go see? Who'd come in? Like people,
Paul
like Steve,
Revere and the Raiders, okay. Hermits, Tina Turner, Paul Anka. Jimmy Ruffin, one of my favorite artists. I did find, I come from Leamington and had listened to the Big Eight while I was going to school down there and listened to Bud Davies, top 10 countdowns on Thursday nights and things like that. But I didn't realize that the music that I was hearing that seemed to catch my ear more than some of the other music were by black artists. So I was very surprised finding myself up in Windsor at CKLW.
In the big city.
In the big city, and knowing that, you know, Jimmy Ruffin was coming over today, and seeing that when Jimmy Ruffin came through the door, you know, he was black. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say is I didn't see any color line when I listened to the radio.
You could pick a hit. That was it. You had the magic of going, that's a good one, and that's a dumb one. Throw right in the garbage, because you had magical ears. You made so many stars. Dennis, you played on Temptations records. You had your own hit records with Scorpio. What was it like when you heard that Rosalie liked the record, it was going to be on the Big 8? What happened?
That was it. We were on our way. When she put it on, I knew that because the station could reach all over the country, especially in the evening, was such a powerhouse here. That was it. Once you got into CK, you were on the way.
Now, how many different Detroit records did you play on? Can you even think of how many?
Probably at least 100 million sellers, maybe more. All the Temptation stuff, Cloud Nine, Dramatics, just gazillion things. I can't even keep them all on track.
Now, there still is a place in the world where Detroit music, Detroit R&B is the biggest thing going, and that is, Dennis, tell everybody, where is it?
Where it's still going?
Scotland and England.
Yes.
Is that
right.
Not that?
Yes, Northern Soul.
Those
Absolutely.
Those folk, people are listening don't know. Northern Soul
exactly.
Is, that's what they call the stuff that came out of Detroit. And over there, you have just released a book.
Yes, I've got a book out over there called Guitars, Bars, and Motown Superstars. And I just did a weekend concert about a month ago over there opening up for the Velvettes. And
you were turning them away at the doors. I mean,
it was jammed.
Sellouts.
It was jammed. It was amazing.
How's the book selling?
It's number 4, actually, over in London right now for rock books.
And is it released here in North America?
Not here yet.
When do you expect it to be in stores?
I think another 3 or 4 months, possibly.
Okay. And it's called?
Guitars, Bars, and Motown Superstars.
And Motown Superstars. Rosalie, you made a lot of stars, really. You can think of how many people, when you would walk down the Big 8 hallways, there were gold records all up and down the halls in your office. Of hits that you were responsible for, that you picked out. What are some of the more memorable ones that just came out of the blue that you say, that's a hit, and people said, no, it's not, and it turned out to be a smash?
Wow. You didn't realize, I didn't realize too often that I was maybe going to be the first person to play the record. I would say acts that I'm proud of that succeeded, one in particular, was Bob Seger. There was just something, you know, about that heavy music. But even before that, you know, when you heard songs like Looking Back and yep. Ivory, you knew that the time was going to come when it was going to be his day, yep. Exactly with the kind of lyrics that he had.
And I remember the day just walking down the hall, turning the corner, and there was Bob. These people would come over and see you and thank you for what you did to them. And Tony Orlando and many of these other people, you picked some, well, folks would say, where did you get that? You'd find the wrong side of a song and you'd make it a hit.
I did with Wayne Newton's record.
That was Daddy, Don't You Walk So
Daddy,
Fast.
Daddy, Don't You Walk So Fast.
How'd you make that hit? Just put the wrong side
I
on?
Had a reason for doing that.
Okay.
And it was sort of a personal reason. Wayne had, Wes Farrell was his producer, and they had sent me a test pressing, and on the one side was Daddy, Don't You Walk So Fast, and the other side, I think that they were doing a Partridge Family song that they had done on TV or whatever,
yeah.
And I think Fred happened in my office. Who was a general manager, and you talked to Fred earlier tonight.
Hour, yeah.
I think he happened to come in my office when I was listening to this test pressing, and he said, wow, what's that? And I said, that's Wayne Newton. I said, I know somebody I'd like to play this record for. So Fred said, yeah, okay, why don't you do it? You know, so I had recently separated from my husband, and he wasn't too faithful in seeing his children. So I thought, this is the only record that I really played for myself. That is, and lo and behold, because I thought a lot of people could identify, if you listen to the lyric of that song, like I was identifying with it.
Million seller for him, wasn't it?
It was a million seller.
Millie Felch, you were working for Warner Brothers at the time.
Right.
You were responsible for coming in with a stack of records and trying to persuade this lady here, Rosalie, that you had some winners. I remember, was it Thursdays or was it
Thursdays?
You would start lining up.
Thursdays at first, and then I had to include Friday because there were so many promotion people.
There was a lineup in the lobby, and they would get, what, 10, 15 minutes?
Well, 15 minutes, but it usually was more than that.
Yeah, okay. How did you persuade her? Did you ever get her to go to your side of a song, or she was with an iron fist?
Well, you know, the station was so influential. I mean, you got a record played on that station, and the whole country waited to see what CKLW was going to do. So if you got a record played there, you knew it was a hit. I remember I went in there one day with Debbie Boone, "You Light Up My Life."
I think that was number one for 23 weeks.
It was too long, Charlie. Too long, Charlie.
Oh, you made a lot of stars. Dennis, you continue to play these days. Are you still rocking like the Temptations? Where are you going these days? You've got some recordings that you're working on right now as well?
I've got a new CD will be out in the spring called Flight of the Phoenix. And then also they're doing a reissue on some of my hits from the past. So I'm working on that, and I just keep making music.
Is there a listing? Is it in your book, all the songs you played on?
Absolutely.
In the Detroit area?
Yes. Sure is.
What's the magic? Armin, you've been here for a long time. What was Detroit? What magic did it have here that we came up with so many great artists in this area?
There were a lot of artists that came out of this town. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go all the way back to Jackie Wilson, Della Reese, and the Gaylords. There was just a ton of artists that came out of Detroit. And I think that Detroit loved all kinds of music.
Right.
And there was a lot of music that came out of Detroit. It was just a good town if you wanted to be in the record business.
A lot of talented people.
That's right.
It was New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, L.A., and then Detroit had its own sound.
It had its own feel. And it was terrific. It was unbelievable. I got to tell you one thing, Charlie. I remember when I had a Neil Diamond record, Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. Well, Neil Diamond, in fact, I had even brought him over to the station to see Rosalie. We were trying to promote that record. And Rosalie liked Neil Diamond, okay? Liked his performance and everything else. Right?
I sure did.
Yes, you did.
At that time, Ted Atkins was the program director. Right. For some reason, he did not want to put that record on. If you ever wanted to see an irate person, it was Rosalie. She wanted that record on. It sounded good, and for some reason, Ted did not want it. Well, guess what? The record ended up going on. Maybe not that day, but it ended up going on. And, of course, it became a good hit for Neil Diamond.
How hard did you have to work? You were the music director. You didn't have really the final say. You had to take the records that you listened to, and there were, what, maybe three or four a week that were, like, smashes. And then you had to go in and convince the program director, like Ted Atkins. Was that tough to do on a regular basis? Or did they kind of say, Rosalie, you, it's a hit. We're going to play whatever you suggest?
Not really. I never got a lot of pressure. When I first started as music director, Bill Drake was the consultant. And there was a lot of uniformity because, you know, Top 40 radio was brand new. And after a certain time, I would say within maybe a year, by the time Jim O'Brien, the second program director, I worked for about 13, 14, 15 program directors.
Outlasted them all.
But each market sort of had its own unique sound. It's like if you went to San Francisco where he consulted KFRC you had like the Jimi Hendrix experience happening from KFRC. And Bill Drake, who lived in L.A., loved the Creedence Clearwater Revival. So, and then when you came up to Detroit, you had the soul with the rock and roll. So we all sort of, we would exchange hits hit, so to speak. If I got a hit on a Bob Seger record in Windsor, Detroit, then it would spread to San Francisco and L.A., that type of thing.
Question, after Brother Love's show and whatever else, did he write Cracklin' Rosie for you? What's the story on that?
I was told that there was a story in the L.A. Times or something like that that someone had written in. Paul Drew, a former program director, told me about it. And they had said that they'd heard the song was about me, and it really wasn't. Cracklin' Rosie. I used to tease them that, see, I told you somebody'd write a song about
well,
me.
Well, didn't Bob Seger do that?
Yeah, they did.
Did. Yes,
they did.
Song called Rosalie.
Yeah, that's true. But that was after Cracklin' Rosie.
That was 69.7.
So Cracklin' Rosé has its wine, and Neil was taught has since told me that it had to do with the lumberjacks. You know, if you were a lumberjack and you're out on the water with the logs and everything else, and you don't see too many women, and when you have the weekend, you usually just bought a bottle of Cracklin' Rosé.
Best friend.
Right, is your best friend.
It's great to have you here. You guys are all looking great. Millie, you're looking fabulous. You're in our sales department, so we continue to see each other almost every day.
Yes, we do.
Rosalie Tremblay, a music legend. We all love you here. You made so many stars.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for coming. And, of course, we've got Armin Blake. We got people walking in the doors at any moment here. It's the Big 8 reunion. Dennis Coffey is here. Good luck with the book. The new CDs, of course, are out there.
Thank you.
And Armin
much.
Baladian, thank you for coming.
Thank you,
it's
Charlie.
More hits,
reunion.
Armin.
Thank More
you.
Hits. And let's roll one of Dennis's tunes here as we go to the break here. 9:25, it's the Big 8 reunion on AM 800 CKLW. Here's Scorpio and Dennis Coffey on the Big 8.
The clock to a different era of radio, but at the same position on the dial, AM 800. Tonight's Big 8 reunion is made possible with the help of Walkerville Brewery, Healy Island Winery, the Holiday Inn Select on Huron Church, and JD Pranksters. More of the Big 8 reunion on CKLW. Remember this?
No. Dennis Slag of Detroit to win high-low jackpot number 12. Tell me its exact amount in dollars and cents.
$316.07.
Dennis, give it one more time.
$316.07.
Oh, boy. Your guess is too high.
CKLW. Maria Burnett of Akron, Ohio. How's everything in Akron down there?
Fine.
Is it cold?
No.
Do they have any radio stations there?
Yes.
Oh, how else do you pick the right one to listen to? Listen, to win high-low jackpot number 12, tell me its exact amount in dollars and cents.
$465.65.
You're too high.
CKLW, Mission Impossible Time with Tom Shannon. Now, your identification, please.
Marie Riberty of Windsor.
Okay, Marie, your assignment is worth $100 in CKLW cash and will be successful if you guess correctly which Big 8 jock will meet you on your mission. However, if the tape message self-destructs before completion or your selection is incorrect, the cash award will be disavowed. Now, Marie, which Big 8 jock will it be?
Chuck Morgan.
Chuck Morgan, good luck, Marie. Here is your mission.
The owner of a swinging club has some vital information to pass along to the government. He'll meet you at the busiest intersection in town. Look for a cop swinging his club in his right hand. It's Big 8 jock, Jim Edwards.
CKLW.
Sorry, Marie.
Joan
Marshall of Sterling Heights to win Hilo Jackpot number 15. Tell me its exact amount in dollars and cents. Joan?
$701.11.
Why do you think it's that, Joan? Joan?
Pardon?
Why do you think that's the amount?
Why do I think that's the amount? I don't know.
Have you been playing the game?
Huh?
Have you been playing the game?
I can't hear you.
Have you been playing the game? Joan? Can you hear me now? You've won all the money, Joan.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding, Joan.
Oh, yes, you are.
And you got a six-month-old boy, right?
Oh, you're kidding.
It's going to pay for a lot of diapers, honey. Congratulations.
Oh, I don't believe it.
$1.11.
You're kidding.
We have a winner.
CKLW with Cosmic Bob and Steve Dorfman of Southfield will now try for the phrase that will exercise the demon. Steven, to win $500, what is the correct eight-word phrase that will cast out the devil?
Beginning this Monday, Gary Burbank makes mornings outrageous.
That's it.
All right.
You just won it.
Okay.
All right, that was one of the crazy contests that they did here, and there were so many. Big money, little things, albums, and we're going to talk to some of the folks that helped give it away, take all the hitline requests. Patty Gable, Patty Doman,
yeah.
Nancy Richardson, Nancy
Lozon,
I remember that, and Lee Curtis is here, Lee Musselman, there we go. Get on that microphone.
I'm here.
Lee, you're working with us right now here at Chum Windsor, Chum Detroit. You're the traffic manager.
I am.
But you've worn all kinds of hats here through the years.
I have.
What departments did you work in?
I've been in traffic. I worked for Eddie Buderbaugh in the engineering department. I worked in some promotions, but basically traffic, a little on-air stuff. But it's been 30 years.
And Patty, wow. Patty and Nancy, you guys answered hit lines. Now, we gave out those hit line numbers. How many different versions of them? 298-8822 and 966-4000, all the rest. And thousands of calls came in. And you guys had to deal with all that. What was that like answering those phones for the crazed teenagers?
CKLW hit lines. Thank you.
I said that 100 times.
An hour, probably.
An hour.
Yeah.
But it was the best time of our life. We had a ball. Couldn't believe they paid us for it.
And
it was great.
Were you guys part-time going to high school? Had you graduated? Was this like a part-time job at the radio station, the cool place to work?
It was. For me, I worked Monday through Friday, 4 to 11, and Saturday and Sunday. If they'd give me the hours, I was here, 9 to 5.
Just answering phones, and I remember you would hand the request. Here's a pile of requests from the switchboard, and they were 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, and we got to play one or two of them because we couldn't handle them all. There were too many to do. Thousands of calls came in. We could do maybe one or two requests an hour, really.
They were nonstop, and we a lot of times would blow the trunk lines out. The phones would ring so much.
Especially during some of the contests. What do you remember as far as some of the crazy contests that happened? There was the black box. That was one of them. We gave away cars. What other...
And there was a lot of contests, too, with a lot of phone-ins with rating the music. Do you remember when then we ended up playing Last Kiss, like forever and ever and ever?
Because they kept voting for it.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Well, they made the hits. They voted with their dollars at the record stores. They made them number one hits. What are the best memories of working at the Big Eight? Patty, you jumped off the hit line. You became a program director, secretary.
I went well.
And
from
Nancy,
the hit,
what did you do? You went into traffic after.
I went into promotion.
Promotion, yeah. Okay.
I was hired as a hit line operator on my 19th birthday by Bill Hannes. I was in his office 5 minutes. All I did was giggle.
You're obviously qualified, I guess.
Ask me any questions.
Too bad Bill's not here today.
He said, "Go see so and so, and she'll tell you what to do." And I was full-time. I answered phones during the day with Jan Truscott. And we were in a little room by ourselves.
You had your own hit line room.
Yes, we did. The phones were ringing all the time. That's what I did. And all the jocks hung around. And
I wonder
day,
why that was, because these are very fabulously attractive women we have in the room here.
One That's day why you married them.
One day this big memo went on the door. We won't mention any names.
Do not date the jocks.
Do not enter. Stay back. Stay away. Get out. And that just made us more wantable, I guess.
There you go. That's crazy.
Patty, after you left the hit lines, didn't you become Byron's secretary, though,
in
the news department?
I was the only woman in the newsroom.
And that was a scary thing to walk into the newsroom when there were 24 men working in that newsroom at any given time.
It was intimidating at first because, you know, they like to,
A little macho.
Yeah, just a tad macho. But it didn't take a long time. It didn't take very long to we made our mark, and it was good.
Well, it was important because there were so many behind-the-scenes folks. We think about the jocks and the newscasters, but there were a lot of people. Like, Lee, you mentioned the newsroom, 24, 30-something people, and promotions, hit lines. How many people were on hit lines? You know, like half a dozen at any one time, and our office staff.
Charlie, that goes right back to what we've said over the years.
It's a great team.
All of us were growing up together, 19 years old, whatever we were, and this is why we're such a close-knit group now. It really, we didn't realize it at the time. We were just kids. We were doing our job and having fun while we were doing it. It was hard work. I know in the news segment, we sounded like we were having way too much fun. And I keep trying to defend Byron from time to time because Byron's not here to talk about the legitimacy of the news.
We have a very special caller on the line. I don't know if you can hear him. Garish.
Garish,
are you with us, Garish?
Yes, I'm living in St. Clearwater, Florida, at the Golden Gator Retirement Community. I used to work at CKLW.
Ladies and gentlemen,
and I know JoJo, too.
The morning mouth. Gary Burbank.
Yeah, we got a lot older, didn't we, JoJo? I just got my bonbon a couple of seconds ago. It gets me kind of up. I'm going to get my num-num in a minute here.
Can you hear us?
Remember when we used to do the num-num, JoJo?
Hey, Gary.
When I would put my face in the middle of your chest and go, num-num-num-num-num-num-num.
That was the helicopter sound, right? You were the one.
Hi.
You know, hey, Gary, you should be here. It's just been tremendous. It is just incredible.
I would absolutely love to be there.
Gary.
That's all I'm thinking about right now. Why can't I be there?
It's been 2 days.
Gary, it's Charlie O'Brien. Thanks for calling in. Where are you tonight, man?
I'm headed south. I don't know. It's just we decided to
do you need
south.
A traffic report, Gary? No, I can get you there.
I'm going down I-75 in Florida right now, looking on the left side, and I need to beat on my chest, but I can't beat on my chest. I have one hand on the wheel and do the phone thing at the same time.
Hey, Gary.
It's not going to work.
Gary, it's Randall Carlisle.
Randall Carlisle.
How are you?
I'm doing fine now that I got that crap out of my driveway.
You know, Gary, we talked about that last hour, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but I'm just now getting it out.
Yeah, but you still have it in your hair and all that kind of stuff.
600 pounds.
Carol hasn't let me the house in now, 25 years. How long has it been?
Gary, you were here in 75, 74?
Yeah, Gary was 76. I'm the guy, they hired me to replace you, not in the morning show, but when you left, they hired me full-time.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing about that.
It was a bad rumor.
You got to tell the story, Gary.
It's Charlie O'Brien.
Tell the story about when you called me when I left the Big 8 and I went to Colorado Springs to be in TV, and you called me and faked me out one day. Go ahead, tell the story.
I have no idea what happened. Now that was another person, I think.
No,
he's the wrong guy.
He called it. Who was the president at the time?
Own up.
He calls.
Was it
Jimmy Carter?
Yeah, it was Jimmy Carter.
I don't do him anymore since I started doing Bill Clinton like this, you know.
And he calls me one day. I'm in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I had no idea who it was. And he says, "Use your voice, Gary."
Kind of like this here, I think.
And he
I've
says,
been talking like this. I don't
see,
know.
And he asked me if I would work for the CIA as a news guy. I swear to God.
Fall for
I don't know what you're doing right now, but that wasn't me.
Yes, it was you.
We blamed everything on you so far, Gary.
Every voice, everything else. Anyway, I said, well, Mr. President, I can't do that as a news guy.
Did we lose Gary?
There's Gary. Went out, guys.
Oh, there you are. You're back with us.
Hey. I think so, yeah.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
Keith Radford's on the line.
Keith, hello, how are you?
Hey, where's that $20 you owe me?
Oh, man, I don't owe you $20.
Yes, and it was 20 American. Don't try and give me that Canadian stuff.
Yeah, 20 American. Oh, my God, that is bad, isn't it?
Every time I meet somebody from Cincinnati, I say, hey, I got an old friend there, Gary Burbank, and everybody knows you down there, Gary.
Yeah,
Yeah, there's only about five people that live there now.
He scared them all
after
out.
The Bengals season, everybody.
But you're number
out.
One with all yeah. five, right?
Yeah, you don't have anything to do with that place anymore.
Yeah. You still got the restaurant down there? I heard you
yeah,
had a rib place.
Grill barbecue, yeah.
And
yeah.
What's the special sauce that you have on sale around the nation?
We'll
do a commercial.
I can't tell
for you.
I mean, if I told you what it was, I'd have to kid you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that sauce is that important.
Hey, the 911
Gary. Screamer. Yeah.
Hey, this is JoJo.
Hi, JoJo.
Hey, tell them that your humor and your pranks, they just ran the gamut. But tell them, we only found out about this maybe 5 years ago. Well, just before Byron died. You finally admitted to him what had happened. Byron had asked Gary to dub the background music for The Americans, which was America the Beautiful. And Gary, what did you do for him when he was going to do this?
It was myself and Jose, and you know, da, 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 da. Well, I put a little something extra on the end of it, and Byron was doing it at Tiger Stadium, and there were like 30,000 people on July the 4th or something at the game, and Byron was standing on the mound. And he was, you know, doing, and this is one Canadian who loves America. I want to kiss every one of you. And he goes on and on, and the music is swelling at the end, and until it played a little something in my head. And everyone has their hands on their hearts as you hear, da, 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 da. People are looking at each other like, what the? And so I barely escaped with my life on that one. Byron never really realized it was me. I always denied it.
No, you always denied it, and it wasn't up until about 5 years ago when we visited you in Cincinnati that
yeah,
you
we were sitting in the
finally
restaurant one
confessed.
Night. They had to pour Byron and I in our cars about 3 o'clock in the morning because we were admitting all the things we had done to each other.
Oh, great times. You're missing great times. The station has been a terrific host. The city's been a terrific host. We've had a great time around Windsor, and everybody's just enjoying it, Gary. Wish you were here. The
I
next time you will be.
I always had a great time at Windsor. When you know things got really boring, you could always go to Max Milk. And then it changed after I left, man. You know, Windsor went crazy. I don't know what happened.
Gary, you were just that kind of guy. Thanks for calling in. You're down at WLW in Cincinnati.
In
thanks,
Cincinnati right
thank
now.
You for taking some time out.
I'll call anytime. And thank you. Hi, everybody, and goodbye, everybody.
There you
I'll
go.
See you soon.
We
Garish,
love you here.
Good morning,
bye-bye.
Gary Burbank.
Gary.
We're going to take a quick break here. It's 9:41. You're listening to the Big 8 Reunion on AM 800 CKLW. We're back right after this.
The Big 8 Reunion continues on
CKLW. And this just handed me, it's been learned by CKLW News that Gary Burbank's driveway has been blocked by 600 pounds of wet horse manure. A smelly substance was apparently dropped during the dark hours, and the pranksters are still on the loose. We contacted his sleepy-eyed wife, Carol, this morning to get her reaction.
This is very funny.
Jared, is it there?
Yes, it's there.
How big is it?
It's pretty big.
Huh, where is it?
It's in the driveway.
Well, I just wanted to see if it was true.
Yeah, it's there.
It's there.
CKLW.
It's the Big 8 Reunion on CKLW, and on the line with us, I guess, is a guy whose his whole life has been jingles. Let me introduce Ben Friedman. Ben from Buffalo, New York, and you've got some connection with the Big 8. Tommy Shannon, of course, you've done some jingles for him, but you almost got into radio, but jingles is the part that consumed your life. You've got a great background. My goodness, the places you've been, TM Century and PAMS, and you've worked with Johnny Mann. You've got your own jingle company, jingleuniversity.com on the web. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Charlie.
Great to be here with
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
My gosh, jingles on the Big 8, jingles anywhere in radio, they cut through the junk, the clutter. They make us listen. Why is that? What is so special about jingles?
Well, of course, jingles serve as a signpost to the listener's ears, but it also is the main image impression that a radio station can make on the listeners. So other than the DJs and the commercials and maybe some voice promos, the jingles are really the key image element that a radio station uses.
And they're so famous around these parts. Everybody and their brother and their sister can sing the CKLW jingles, but they've got quite a history. Some early days around the 65, 66... just before the Big 8, jingles were kind of long. They were a little noisy. We're going to hear some of those right here. These are the Hornblower series, right? The Happy Hornblower?
Pepper Tanner. This first one is what I call the Batman cut. It was the musical inspiration is from Batman, which was so very instrumental in influence on people. You kind of forget that.
All right, let's listen into that one.
Radio ain't no. Radio, both sides of the border agree.
jump pretty good. There's one more right here.
International. Wonderful and wonderful. Windsor and Detroit know. It's Radio 80.
Wow. Big sound, weren't they?
Yeah, you noticed they had a musical intro and a musical exit, and all that started to go away a little bit later on. They wanted to keep the good singing, but they wanted to cut the timing down.
And we've got a series right here. These ones coming up are, they're from PAMS, I believe.
Yes, I was president of PAMS Jingles for 15 years. This was before my time. This is around 1967.
All right, let's give a listen to this.
Radio 8-CKLW, much more fun. CKLW, the Motor City. Dave Schaefer, Radio 8-CKLW. Tom Shannon, Radio 8-CKLW. Much more Radio 8-CKLW.
Yeah, and even the guys got their own little songs there now.
Sure, every disc jockey had to have their own little blurb. It was a very fast and furious way to present the station image, but it really worked.
And those singers, they pretty darn good singers. Tell us a little bit about the people that they found to sing these. That's always fascinated me.
Well, these, it all these singers in down, Dallas,
down in Dallas,
I mean, the
yeah.
station ID jingle business, and by a guy named Bill Meeks. And the idea was to get the right blends of singers, to not have a screechy high end and not have it all mushy. It was to be able to get a good, clear, very professional way to put it across.
Wow. And how many singers, just for the uneducated ear, how many singers would be singing on one of these jingles?
Well, that would have been seven singers, because
wow.
you hear the deep bass voice going in there and the baritone and then the middle voices and the higher end voices. And then they would take it, record it one time, and then play it back and sing along with it. And they would do that a series of three times to get, in effect, 21 voices.
Man, and that was way before the world of digital and everything was on,
four-track
or eight-track tape even, I guess, at that time. Hey, the Big Eight was moving on. The jingles were changing a little bit, too. What about this next set that we're going to hear, Ben?
Well, if you're queuing up the additional, the new Johnny Mann jingles,
yeah.
is that what we're going to play now, Charlie?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah. These were very famous singers out in Los Angeles. Now, Johnny Mann is a fellow that some people may know. He was on TV with a show called Stand Up and Cheer, and he's made a lot of jingles for a lot of people. And this was a very famous set made for the RKO General Stations, of which CKLW was
and
one.
And these were all across the nation. Let's listen to the Big Eight versions right here.
CKLW. CKLW. More music, CKLW.
How can you forget those?
More music, CKLW. The Big Eight, CKLW. Merry Christmas from CKLW.
I had to include that one. Ben Friedman, I've got to say that would have to be my favorite jingle, I think, of all time, that Johnny Mann Christmas jingle for the Big Eight.
It has a fantastic blend of singers.
What a sound that is. That's fabulous. And, of course, all the pattern stuff in between. And I've got a couple more here just to close things out here. Ben Friedman's our guest from Buffalo, New York, from the Jingle University, the jingle guy today. And we're so happy to have you with us on the Big Eight reunion. Let's give a listen to these, Ben.
Okay.
Jim Edwards, CKLW. Johnny Williams, CKLW.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Ben Friedman on the Big Eight.
CKLW, the Motor City.
I thought I'd give you that one, Ben. That's a
that's great. I appreciate that.
That's your free Ben Friedman jingle for me. You're the guy who's
you.
Made the jingles through the years, and geez, we really thank you for taking a few moments from Buffalo, New York, and all the jingles that you've contributed through the years. And thanks for your expertise and for being part of the Big Eight reunion here on CKLW.
I appreciate it. I'm going to be listening. Thanks.
Turning back the clock to a different era of radio, but at the same position on the dial, AM 800. Tonight's Big Eight reunion is made possible with the help of Walkerville Brewery, Healy Island Winery, the Holiday Inn Select on Huron Church, and JD Pranksters. More of the Big Eight reunion on CKLW. Remember this?
Ted Richards, CKLW.
The Big Eight, CKLW.
KLW. With Teddy Bear and Brother Barry White. Love you a little more, woman.
KLW to Raspberry, Teddy Truck and Bear, 636 in Winters, 736 in Detroit.
Hey, hit it!
Cool in the gang, it's
Teddy Truckin' Bear! Jimmy! Come back, Jimmy, come back!
CKLW!
All right, where's the newscast? Hey, you faked me out. I can't see through the wall. It's coming to the back end of it. Man, we've had a great time. It's the Big A reunion on CKLW celebrating the 70th birthday of the radio station.
Wow.
And we got to say some quick thank yous here to all the people that helped out. All these great air checks. Charles Rittenberg, Tommy Ryan, Tom Conard from the Air Check Factory. Thanks to Scott Miller for sending some stuff up. Gary Tennis, Ben Friedman from InstantRadioStation.com. Working hard here on our board, Sloan Cummings. Running a tight ship back there. Thank you, Sloan. Jim Valvasori for all the great technical setup. We've got like 40 people in the room here, and everybody has their own mic. Matt Weingarten for putting it. Matt, thanks for all the work. Wendy Duff, my pal, is on the phone tonight. Keith Chinnery, the program director, working hard here tonight. Jamie Richardson and Paul McMahon, and everybody else. I can't. Russ Jenkins. Thank you. Oh, we're coming to the end of it. Anybody got some final thoughts? We got just a couple minutes. Everybody's in the house.
A few of us are between jobs. You don't have any.
How about if we all come back?
Keith never traveled without a resume and a tape.
I got my chopper parked outside. Can you use me?
Absolutely. We can all do the sound. It's been great having you all here. Man, Ted Richards and Grant Hudson and Jay Gold.
Look at those monkey boots.
I'm Teddy the Bear. And Bill Gable and Rosalie. And oh my
hey,
God,
Charlie, Mark Daly. Here's an idea. We have people listening, of course, who've been CKLW buffs from the great Big 8 era and are now baby boomers moving on. A lot of great CKLW jocks couldn't make it here. And we haven't had mentioned their names yet, so I'm going to see if we pop some off. All right, I'm going to start off, okay? Duke Roberts and Big Tom Rivers. Who can think of someone else?
Dusty Rhodes.
Rick Allen.
Bob Savage.
Daryl B.
Jovan.
Daryl B. No longer with us.
Dave Schaefer.
Dave Schaefer. Got a list. Frank
Don Z, who I think had to call himself Don Z Williams because there was a rule at the time that you had to have an Anglo-Saxon sounding surname. I think that was a consultant's decision. You may hate certain ethnic groups, but everyone at CKLW has this very neutral name. So
Joe, we got more names to
do. Baby Love.
Charlie Fox, Lou Henry, Chuck Hobart, Pat Holliday couldn't make it tonight from Toronto.
Big Jim Edwards.
Chadwick. Duke Windsor. J.J. Jackson. Jim Jackson.
Duke Windsor.
There we
Newsman
go.
Bob Lozier.
Chuck McKay.
Jack London. Chuck. Billy Mack.
Chuck McKay. John Belmont.
Am I here for the climate or the money? What's the thing?
Terry Knight.
He was
basic hot ticket.
Terry Knight.
Chuck Morgan.
Jerry Morgan.
Charlie Van Dyke.
Hank Johnny O'Neil. Williams.
Rick
Johnny
Allen.
Williams could
Dick
make
Tyler
it tonight. He was in town.
Yeah.
My God, who else? We got a whole list. I got a whole list for Bob Todd. Charlie Van Dyke.
Scott Regan.
Bill
What's
Winters.
The general manager that fired
Bob
me? What was
Savage.
His name? The first guy.
The guy fired you the first time or the second time?
Second time.
Ted Anthony. He was there.
Ted Anthony. Bob Savage. Ed Mitchell.
Bob
Jim Jackson.
Bob Buss.
Bob Butt. Eddie Rogers.
Let's remember Herb McCourty couldn't
Herbie
be here tonight.
Yeah.
How about some of the salespeople like Vince Pawchuk?
How about them?
And some of the news people. Jim Brooker used
Who
to be
else?
A real hot
yeah.
reporter
Clark
for us
Weston.
Detroit, driving a mobile Mustang.
Bert Allen.
Bert Allen. Yeah.
Anybody else? You got a mic there, Sean? Just reach back. And just
Les
the
Garland.
Late Neil, the late Neil Thomas.
Les Garland. Right. Neil Thomas, absolutely.
Yeah.
Some great names.
Yeah.
Don't
Art
stop
Riley,
now.
Remember Art Riley?
Art
the bank
Riley?
Came and repossessed his car in the back parking lot.
That's right.
Our conduit into the burgeoning counterculture to make sure that we could sound hip on the air at the time, Steve Gill.
Oh, yeah.
Who was part of our behind-the-scenes newsroom staff.
Now, I know Pertin's,
Steve Madeley.
Yeah,
Steve
Madeley's in Ottawa. Pertin's still here, I know, but I hear he's not doing too well. Do you think we could...
Why don't we take a collection up for Dick
before we leave?
He's number one. He knows that. He's listening.
How about just, Peter Schumacher? Remember Peter
Schumacher
in
promotions or marketing?
Mitch LaFave. Anybody remember Mitch?
We're just about out of time. Everybody who's listening,
Les Garland.
We're going to try and make the whole show available on a CD package sometime.
And Keith, I think we'll go, if we go to the website, am800cklw.com, everybody can kind of keep up. All the listeners from
post
around.
Your resumes.
From whatever else. Post your, post
jobs,
your resumes.
Jobs.
Jobs,
1995.
Jobs. 1995. There you go. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Should we sing it out at least with the Motor City jingle?
Sure.
If someone who wants to lead,
CKLW, the Motor City.
Been listening to the Big 8 Reunion on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. The show was hosted by former Big 8 jock Charlie O'Brien and was produced by Matt Weingarten. Sloan Cummings was the technical producer. Special thanks to Jamie Richardson, Wendy Duff, Sean Cowan, Judy Holm, and Michael McNamara. The executive producer was Keith Chinnery. Watch for the one-hour documentary Radio Revolution, The Rise and Fall of the Big 8, produced by Markham Street Films. Coming to the History Channel in spring 2003.
What does it matter to you?
This is AM 800 CKLW, a Chum radio station.
You got to give me a-